Jessie let out a low groan as she slowly came to. She groggily sat up while her brain did its best to remember where she was and what she was doing. Her head and neck ached a little, but that was only natural considering her bed had no pillow.
Bed?
She mumbled and looked around her quarters. While it was called her quarters, the space was simply a small room in a random house in New Whitehall. Although it was technically someone's home, it had been converted into a women's barracks to house the Republic's legionnaires. As one might expect, the men were in another building. Many other buildings, actually. Pretty much every house, shop, store, restaurant, and inn had been turned into housing for soldiers. Various industrial facilities, such as forges, workshops, and alchemical laboratories, were retrofitted for military use. The citizens that once lived here had already been evacuated via Forest Gate along with any refugees from the surrounding towns and villages. There were, of course, those who didn't wish to abandon their homes, but such individuals were forcefully relocated regardless of their intentions. Some condemned this decision as barbaric, cruel, or unfair, but it was for the best. Having civilians present in a war zone would only be a burden to the Republic's legions. Well, not unless the elves were willing to use the non-combatants as meat shields and spell fodder, but no self-respecting military institution was that monstrous. Ultimately, the only people currently present in New Whitehall were either military personnel, members of the workforce, or independent contractors like Jessie. The latter two groups were non-combatants and would be evacuated as soon as their work was done or the fighting reached the city. Whichever came first.
Crap!
Exclaimed the gnome.
I gotta find that golem before they ship me off.
The sunshine coming in through the sole window and the clock next to her bed both suggested that barely an hour had passed since she was knocked out. She took this opportunity to recalibrate her tick counter skill, which had gone haywire due to that harsh yet well-deserved blow to the head. With her internal clock in order, she got out of bed, ran to the front door, and flung it open. Only to then immediately slam it shut and lean against it. Her breath was uneven and beads of cold sweat formed on her forehead. This was bad. Once again, her overabundant enthusiasm got the better of her. The cause of her distress was a certain childish, superstitious, and wholly unscientific fear. Jessie knew better than anyone how nonsensical her phobia was, but logic and facts did little to abate the sheer terror she felt whenever she confronted the outside.
It's okay, Jessie. Gravity won't let you fall upwards,
she quietly reassured herself.
Gravity won't let you go so easily. That's right. Gravity is your ally. Gravity is your ally. Gravity is your ally. Gravity is your ally. Gravity is your ally.
She repeated her mantra over and over as she worked up the nerve to go against her phobia. It seemed silly from most people's point of view, but her condition wasn't all that rare. A common trait among certain dwarven and gnomish communities that dwelled underground or inside hollowed-out mountains was an illogical fear one might fall into the sky. Jessie grew up in such an environment, but the source of her agoraphobia was something else entirely. Though she didn't know it, the gnome had been bitten by an arachnid critter called a hexcrawler when she was a child. The creature was easily mistaken for a harmless variety of spider, especially since its venom was too weak to harm anything larger than a fly. However, it had a nasty trait of inflicting mild yet stubborn curses upon its victims. In the case of Jessiewick Wobblebang, it inflated her youthful misconceptions into a full-blown paranoia that didn't rear its head until she was an adult. Divine magic could easily remedy the affliction, but the girl never sought treatment because she mistakenly believed it was all in her head.
All right, let's go find that golem.
After psyching herself up a bit more, she took a breath, opened the door, and took a cautious step outside. She walked down the street, allowing her nervousness and anxiety to weaken slowly yet surely. A few minutes later, her knees no longer shook and her breathing was less forced. Her anxiousness would never fully fade, but she refused to let it show on her face lest she disgrace the Wobblebang name. Not that her lineage was all that impressive, but it was still important to her. After she grew more accustomed to not having a roof over her head, Jessie asked everyone she saw about the construct she encountered earlier that afternoon. The tiny woman wasn't sure how successful her inquiry would be since her memories of the event were a blur. The only things she remembered was that she was looking for a mithril golem with a rather unique nickname. The apprentice architect that told her that said some other things too, but Jessie ran off without hearing him out. The last thing she remembered before blacking out was leaning on that marvelous construct while she caught her breath. It seemed obvious that it had knocked her out, but Jessie wasn't particularly mad about it. She assumed she must have set off some kind of self-defense protocol, so it was really her own fault for getting so touchy-feely without the owner's permission. Despite her concerns, the spirited artificer had little difficulty tracking down the so-called rust-blood juggernaut. It took less than 15 minutes in total, actually. It seemed as though Jessie was literally the last person in the city to learn of the resident mithril golem, which made her feel incredibly silly. Then again, she hadn't known about the incomprehensibly huge white spot she stood in either. Nor would it be the last bit of common knowledge that she missed because of her shut-in lifestyle. Nevertheless, the gnome made her way towards a commandeered smithy just outside the 3rd Legion's base camp within New Whitehall. She took a deep breath and loudly knocked on the door. But there was no answer. However, judging from the noises within and the smoke pouring out of the chimney, someone was definitely hard at work inside. Jessie assumed they were too engrossed in their craft to notice they had company. This was a common trait among many artisans and craftsmen, and the blonde gnome was no different. Therefore, out of consideration for whoever was inside, the woman decided to wait until they took a break before announcing her presence. There was no way she could barge in on them, considering how much she hated it when people did that to her. The military types were the worst offenders in that regard. Why couldn't they grasp the delicate nature of her work? A moment's distraction could have dire consequences when handling explosives. One crossed wire, one wayward pinch of fire dust, one errant twitch, and kablooey. This wasn't an artificer-exclusive issue, either. Whether it was an alchemist mixing volatile substances, a blacksmith working in exceptionally stubborn metal, or an enchanter weaving magic into mundane objects, all artisan jobs required immense concentration. It wasn't unheard of for high-level practitioners to take on projects that required days or even weeks of constant work. While they didn't always result in explosions, thoughtless interruptions would cost the artisan dearly in terms of time and resources.
What?
The blonde gnome fell to the ground while covering her head in her hands with surprising speed and dexterity. It was a reflex born from years of working with materials that tended to get very angry when mishandled. Once she regained her senses, the tiny inventor realized the source of that detonation was inside the smithy. Figuring that whoever was inside might need help, Jessie leapt to her feet and threw open the door. She was met by a gust of pitch-black smoke that sought to escape its confines through the suddenly available opening.
Are you okay?
She shouted while choking on it.
Huh? Yeah, I'm fine, came the casual answer. Gonna take a lot more than a little pop to hurt me.
The owner of that strangely metallic voice, much like the rest of the room, was covered top to bottom in a thin layer of dark soot. Judging from the stranger's shape and size, she was most definitely a female gnome. She was facing away from the door, but Jessie was confident this wasn't one of her colleagues. Only 3 of them were female, and none of them were that curvaceous. That aside, was this woman truly unhurt? It seemed unlikely, but she said she was fine, so Jessie took her word for it. Besides, there were more important questions on her mind.
What the... What happened in here?
Oh, nothing much.
The blackened gnome shrugged.
Just testing how much fire dust I can mix into the impact gel before it becomes too unstable. Give my stuff a bit of extra oomph. Seems 35 milligrams of dust per 100 milligrams of gel was pushing it, though.
You what? Every idiot knows. It's 20 per 100 at most.
The mixture in question was a key component in impact-triggered bombs, and getting the ratio right was of key importance. Too much impact gel and the explosive force would diminish. too much fire dust, and it was prone to spontaneous detonation. Creating it was a simple enough process, but it required steady hands and sharp eyes.
Nah,
said the charred figure dismissively.
You can get away with 30 easy if you know what you're doing.
That's preposterous,
Jesse reflexively argued.
There's no way it'll be safe to handle beyond 20.
Sure it will. Just gotta subject the gel to a mild electric current before... I'm sorry, but who are you again?
It was only then that Fizzy finally glanced over her shoulder.
Oh, it's that pervert,
the golem murmured.
Pervert? I am no such thing!
Did you or did you not say, and I quote, I want to feel your insides to me while rubbing your face against my breasts?
Jesse merely stared back at her in stunned silence. It wasn't until that moment the reality of the situation finally hit her. Looking into those pure white eyes made her realize that the one she was having a spontaneous argument with wasn't a gnome, but the very thing she came here to find. This was good because it meant her brief search was successful. However, Jesse was far more concerned with addressing the talking piece of equipment in the room.
Holy crap!
She screamed with eyes the size of dinner plates.
It's a sentient golem!
Seriously? You realize this now? Un-the-fucking-leavable.
It spoke to me! Oh my god, oh my god!
Oh, for the love of...
Yo, Fizzy, what's all the racket in here?
A 2-meter-tall, woman-shaped battering ram named Lola poked her head into the still-smoldering smithy. Ironically, she wasn't referring to the botched explosion from earlier. The elf, much like the rest of the Third Legion, had grown accustomed to such disturbances and wasn't worried about Fizzy's safety in the slightest. After all, that golem was infamous for emerging unscathed from something her squad mates referred to as the spicy meatball incident during the siege at Fort Yemen. The mere thought that a random explosion could injure or even phase her was preposterous.
We got a screamer,
Fizzy gestured towards the meatbag, currently losing her wits.
Can you take care of her? I can't focus on my work like this.
Sure thing, Fizzy. Come on, you. Out you go.
Wait, no, but it just spoke to me.
The black-haired elf grabbed the gnome by the scruff of her neck and dragged her outside the smithy despite her protests. The pair received a few knowing looks as Lola nonchalantly carried Jesse across the street and into the house serving as the female warrior's assigned quarters. Incidentally, all the glass windows were shattered and boarded up because of Fizzy's activities, so the inside was rather murky and dark. Once Jesse calmed down somewhat, Lola stopped treating her like luggage and both of them took a seat. The elf then spoke broadly about the golem's circumstances, about how she was on the run from the Empire after her parents were killed earlier that year, about how her life was saved by the god she now serves, about the curse she willingly bore as atonement for past sins. Of course, this was all simply Fizzy's cover story. Technically speaking, even if 90% of the details were omitted, everything the golem revealed about her past was true. Even the part about her sins held a nugget of truth, as the former gnome still felt a tiny bit of guilt over her betrayal of Boxy on that fateful day in her shop.
I see,
said Jesse after hearing the heavily filtered tale. She completely failed to consider that Fizzy might not be just a golem. This was why she had spoken to her so crassly during their first meeting. Since then, and until about just now, her intention was to take the construct apart for the sake of sating her own curiosity. She intended to put the thing back together, of course, even if she wasn't quite sure she could manage it. Golem crafting wasn't her area of expertise, but she couldn't help herself. This was the first time she had even heard about, let alone seen, an honest-to-goodness mithril golem. Some part of her still wanted to pry open Fizzy's chassis to poke at her internals, which did not make Jesse feel any less terrible about the whole thing.
I can't believe I was so thoughtless. She probably hates me now.
The gnome looked down at her feet with guilt plastered all over her face, prompting Lola to cross her arms and lean back in her chair.
She won't hold it against you, so don't worry about it.
The elf reassured her.
Her religious persuasion and a monster-like disposition make her act out sometimes, but she means well. All you have to do is keep in mind that somewhere beneath all that heavy metal beats the heart of a living, breathing, and caring person.
The aspiring artificer felt the urge to comment about how golems were not technically alive, did not breathe, and most definitely did not have hearts, but kept it to herself.
Yeah, I will. Thanks. Could you please tell me her name?
Pretty sure I did. It's Fizzy.
No, not her nickname. I mean her actual given name.
Now look here, Jessie.
Lola's voice turned stern.
Her name is Fizzy, and that's who she is. Nothing more, nothing less.
But, I mean...
Lola sighed heavily when she realized this nosy gnome wasn't going to let the matter rest.
She doesn't like others calling her by her actual name, all right? If you want to know that badly, then ask her yourself. Just don't blame me for anything that happens afterwards.
Blame for what?
The golem in question casually entered the room, the floorboards creaking under her considerable weight. Fizzy had wiped herself down as best she could, but had less luck with her soiled outfit and left it behind. At least, that was the only logical reason for why she was standing there in the nude. Jessie's eyes couldn't help but wander up and down that body. She was slightly caught off guard by the revelation that this golem was more anatomically accurate than expected. Then again, that detail only supported the notion that she used to be a creature of flesh and blood.
Fizzy?
Lola spoke sternly.
What?
Clothes?
Oh, right.
The naked golem girl nonchalantly left the room.
What just happened?
Jessie asked warily.
She's got to dress herself. It happens sometimes since she can't actually feel the clothes on her skin.
But she doesn't have skin.
You know what I mean, smartass?
Sorry.
But yeah, she'll be back. Just give her a minute or two.
When Fizzy returned, she was wearing her favorite outfit. A leather-strapped crop top, some baggy trousers, metal-plated boots, and a set of spiked knee pads. Granted, calling it her favorite outfit may have been correct, but it was also misleading. In reality, this was Fizzy's only outfit. The golem had tried washing it, but hadn't done a particularly good job. They were still soaking wet and had some unsightly black splotches, though neither of those flaws seemed to bother her.
So, what were you talking about earlier?
She inquired. Jessie, who had plenty of time to work on her apology, hopped off her seat and bowed deeply.
Please forgive me for my earlier behavior. I didn't know about your circumstances and I-
Easy there, Munchkin.
The paladin stopped her.
What you did back there? You weren't the first, and you definitely won't be the last. So let's just put all that stuff behind us and get down to business.
Fizzy sat cross-legged on the floor with her hands on her knees. Understanding the gesture, Jessie quickly mirrored it. It was an old gnomish custom with similar connotations to humans shaking hands. It was both a sign of good faith when meeting someone else and an invitation to hold a productive and meaningful exchange of ideas.
So, who are you anyway?
Fizzy started things off.
My name is Jessie Wick Wobblebang. I'm an artificer that was hired to assist in the city's defense.
I'm Fizzy, paladin, artificer, and golem, currently in service to the Third Legion. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
With official introductions out of the way, the soggy construct moved on to the meat of the matter.
So, Jessie Wick.
Please, call me Jessie.
All right then, Jessie. Why were you looking for me?
I guess I'm just interested in you. Purely academically.
She quickly added.
It's just that something's nagging at me to find out how you're put together. What makes you tick? I mean, I never thought golems like you existed. You're just way too fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I totally get where you're coming from.
Fizzy nodded sagely.
I am quite awesome, after all.
Oh boy, here we go.
Mumbled Lola while resting her face in her palms.
Even though it's my own body, I don't think I'll ever get tired of looking at it. For example, consider the joints and mechanisms that move my fingers around. I've had these bad boys for months, and I'm still amazed at how smoothly and efficiently they operate. It's downright hypnotizing, I tell you. Why, just last night I ended up staring at my hands for 3 hours straight. I was so engrossed I forgot to breathe. And then I remembered that I didn't need to breathe. It was quite troublesome.
I see.
Jessie spoke nervously. The gnome felt like she'd stepped on one of her own landmines, albeit one that showered her in gratuitous self-praise rather than fire and shrapnel. Honestly, she wasn't sure which was worse. So she tried changing the topic.
That aside, could I ask for your full name?
The golem's excited face froze for a second, then slowly deformed into a peeved one. She eyed Jessie up and down before giving a defeated sigh. She knew better than anyone that if a gnome genuinely wanted to know something, they would find out eventually. Though she disliked talking about it, she figured it best to get this out of the way now. At the very least, she'd be able to control the damage.
Fine,
she consented.
I don't go by it anymore, but my given name is Corny Fizzlesprocket.
Fizzlesprocket? As in THE Fizzlesprockets?
Jessie's shouted reaction took Lola by surprise, although Fizzy seemed to have more or less expected it.
Yeah, THE Fizzlesprockets,
the golem cringed.
Oh, wow! It's such an honor.
I don't get it. Is it really that big a deal?
The dumbfounded elf butted in.
No, it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. A monumental deal.
Jessie rapidly mouthed off.
The Fizzlesprockets were among the first generation of artificers. They've been tinkering and building gizmos long before the job came into existence. If that wasn't enough, they're also the ones that brought the Arclight Artificer specialization into the world 34 years ago. I mean, they don't hold as much political influence as the Castmaster clan, but they're widely considered to be at the forefront of artificers. In fact, Rory Fizzlesprocket was considered to be the most likely candidate for the next level 100 artificer before he left Horkensaft for... the... Empire. Oh.
A grim realization dawned on the woman. Indeed, the Fizzlesprocket clan was of great importance within the tinkering community. Even a nobody like Jessie was aware that there was only one person who carried their distinguished name beyond the borders of her home country. When considering those rumors alongside Lola's story and Fizzy's apparent age, it wasn't difficult for her to put two and two together.
I'm sorry for your loss,
Jessie said solemnly.
Hmm? What's this now?
Your father, he's dead, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he is.
You seem oddly okay with this.
It was a long while ago. Feels like it, at least. Besides, my father was a fool. His idiotic views were why the head house disowned our part of the family in the first place.
They did what?
Oh, yeah. We didn't leave Horkensaft. We were forced out of it.
I'm sorry, I had no idea.
Look, I don't want to get into politics or dig around the past. They're a huge waste of my time, as well as yours. If you want to talk about something worthwhile, then make it snappy. I have stuff to do and places to be.
Those were anything else and anywhere else, respectively.
Right, yes, of course. Then, if you don't mind me asking, what is it you were working on back there?
I was preparing a custom set of boom tubes for a friend of mine.
You mean those explosive arrowheads they've had us making for the past week?
Probably. Why? Got a problem with them?
No, not at all. Just the opposite, actually. The schematics we got were beautifully drawn and well-documented. The instructions were so thorough that even the idiots that came with me learned to make them in less than a day. Whoever designed those things is a genius.
As an explosives aficionado, Jessie felt particularly exhilarated whenever she worked with new ways to blast things into tiny pieces.
Though it's only natural.
Fizzy started nodding again.
I am pretty brilliant after all.
Could it be? You invented them?
You know it. The idea came from someone else, but I was the one to put it into practice. It's also quite the flexible concept, if you know what you're doing.
The golem reached into one of the pouches at her waist, taking out a grenade exactly like the one she had used in that last skirmish. Jessie instantly pieced together what she was looking at after a single glance at that metal tube and the heavily modified hand crossbow dangling from the golem's belt. The gnome couldn't help but be impressed by the sheer precision necessary to craft one of those. It also explained why the senior artificer had been experimenting with impact gel. The mixture had to be prepared and applied just right so that the grenade would explode from the force of its front hitting something, but not from the stress of being launched from a crossbow.
That's seriously amazing!
Her admiration overflowed.
As expected of a Fizzlesprocket,
You truly are—
Will you shut up, Plus?
Jessie swallowed her words when the golem suddenly yelled.
Yes, I know, but we still have some time, right?
Fizzy continued, her gaze fixed on an empty spot on her left.
Okay, yeah, but how often do I get to meet someone who truly appreciates my creations?
Jessie glanced questioningly at Lola, who responded with a don't-get-me-started look while gently shaking her head.
Oh, that could work. Let's go at that, then.
The golem agreed with someone who wasn't there.
No, don't do that!
She then resumed arguing with this non-existent individual.
Because that would be moronic, and I'm not a moron, am I? Yeah, didn't think so.
The seemingly unstable golem stood up and went for the door before she suddenly stopped and drooped her shoulders.
All right, fine. But not tonight. We'll do it sometime tomorrow, okay? Okay.
Fizzy looked over her shoulder at the aggressively neutral-faced elf and the hyperactive gnome whose mouth kept opening and closing despite the absence of any actual words.
Hey, Lola, you coming with or what?
You know it.
Jessie, what about you?
Who? She's coming.
The towering elf stood from her seat.
And she's going to be quiet and respectful while she's with us. Right, Jessie? Yes, of course.
After instantly succumbing to Lola's intimidating tone, the fleshy gnome rose from the floor and silently followed the metallic one. As the trio stepped out of the murky house, Fizzy stole the gnome's breath away. Though the golem had cleaned off the black soot, it wasn't until she walked out of the dingy house and stood in the afternoon sun that the full extent of her cleanliness was made apparent. The golem hadn't just rinsed herself off. She was absolutely spotless. She completely and thoroughly rid herself of even the tiniest speck of griminess, leaving behind nothing but lustrous, glimmering mithril. Her skin was so smooth, so pure that Jessie could see her own reflection staring back at her in almost literally blinding detail. The sunlight that bounced off of Fizzy's frame was so bright that it bathed her surroundings in a warm, gentle light. An extraordinary radiance danced around her in response to even the slightest movement. Even Lola, who had known her for a while, couldn't help but marvel at the sight. Jessie, on the other hand, was absolutely stupefied. How hadn't she noticed this opulent magnificence when she first saw the golem in front of the wall? Then again, she was covered in blood, dust, mud, and other miscellaneous filth at the time that no doubt vastly diminished her shininess. It occurred to Jessie that she might be doing something extremely rude. Given how bumpy their first meeting was, the gnome averted her gaze away from Fizzy's head out of guilt. She was, of course, completely unaware that the golem actually wanted to be stared at in such a brazen, awestruck manner. The ignorant gnome wiped the drool from the edge of her mouth and looked around to get her bearings.
Are we going towards the city center?
She asked Lola. The vast plaza in question was roughly 60 meters wide and twice as long. It was basically the only landmark in the entire city. One could easily find it at any time by looking around for the roofs of City Hall, a trio of grain silos, and a stone tower belonging to some adventurer guild. These structures were situated around the city center and were tall enough to be easily seen from any street. That was mostly because no other buildings had a height greater than 2 stories. The locals had plenty of land to work with, so New Whitehall expanded outwards rather than upwards.
Yeah, we are.
Lola confirmed.
We're gonna meet up with someone we know. Oh, okay. But, why did you insist that I come along?
An ill-suited expression of worry washed over Lola's stoic face.
Well, to be honest, Fizzy's been a bit down in the dumps lately. She tries to hide it, but I can tell. I just thought making a new friend might cheer her up. Really? She seems pretty cheerful already, doesn't she?
Indeed, the faint Muffin Man song coming from the golem several steps in front gave Jessie the distinct impression she was smiling happily, even though she couldn't see her radiant face.
Well, yeah, but today's kind of a special day. What about tomorrow? Or the day after? We all need good companions to keep us grounded, and I doubt anyone can relate to her as well as you could.
If you say so.
What? You don't like her or something?
No, no, no. Nothing like that. I would totally love to get to know her better. As long as she's okay with it, of course.
I don't mind.
Fizzy piped up from the front.
Just keep your filthy meatbag fingers to yourself, yeah? I really hate stains, you see.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesse wholeheartedly agreed with this point after witnessing the golem's divine radiance. Sullying that impeccable frame with her oily fingers seemed like an act of heresy worth at least 3 levels of taboo.
Oh, wow.
Lola raised her eyebrows.
She must like you quite a bit.
What? Really?
Most definitely.
How can you tell?
You lasted almost 20 minutes before you got called a filthy meatbag. I think that's a new record.
Oh.
The trio continued walking in relative silence for several minutes until they reached their destination. The plaza was still as huge, unroofed, and crowded as the day Jesse got here. If she was the same as she was back then, this sort of environment would have her hyperventilating and looking for a rock to crawl under. This new and improved Jesse Wick Wobblebang was a different person. A little older, a little wiser, and dealing with so much shit that it made her agoraphobia seem like a nostalgic distraction.
See? We made it just in time,
Fizzy spoke, possibly to herself.
Yeah, I know. I'll take care of it later.
Make that definitely to herself. As to what they were in time for, that was plainly obvious. The large archway of stone and vines in the middle of the plaza, otherwise known as a forest gate, was in the process of warming up. As usual, there was a crowd of people, wagons, and guards on one side waiting for the teleportation circle to activate. The newly arrived trio stood at the edge of the designated arrivals area just as the monolithic device ripped a hole in space. Although the spectacle of a gigantic portal surprised Jesse the first time she saw it, she had already grown used to it. She silently prayed to whatever gods might be listening that nothing weird or bizarre came out of that portal. Unfortunately for her, the only deity who might have cared about a wish like that was actually quite partial to such shenanigans. And indeed, said shenanigans occurred mere seconds after the forest gate came online. A dull, thumping noise echoed rhythmically throughout the buzzing plaza as row after row of dwarves exited the portal in perfect step. They were well-disciplined, extremely organized, and armed quite literally to the teeth. They had rectangular shields as thick and tall as they were, an array of imposing axes, pikes, and war picks, what looked like heavy crossbows strapped to their backs, and a set of superbly heavy full-plate armor. All the gear was dyed a shade of charcoal with golden highlights, except for the tabards draped over their breastplates. The cloth garments bore the Republic flag's silver and black colors, marking these soldiers' allegiance.
Independent mercenaries,
Lola stated after sensing Jesse's confusion.
I'm pretty sure those are the Horkensaft Kingdom's armed forces, Miss Lola.
Indeed, there was not a single citizen of the gnome's homeland that wouldn't immediately recognize the telltale rhythm of the obsidian march.
Experienced independent mercenaries,
the elf insisted.
No, that's definitely... You know what, never mind.
There clearly were political dealings at work here, but Jesse knew better than to open that particular can of worms. Instead, she looked on with a mix of awe and nostalgia as exactly 1,200 of her homeland's elite soldiers passed by her in an orderly fashion. She and some of the other onlookers even waved to them as if this was some kind of parade, though none of the soldiers returned the gesture.
Oh? Here she comes!
As for Fizzy, she couldn't care less about the canned meat bags. Her excited tone of voice drew Jesse and Lola's attentions to the portal once more. However, the only thing the gnome saw was the disorderly convoy of carts following in the dwarven soldiers' wake. Compared to that inspiring march, there really didn't seem to be anything of interest about them. In fact, they were so unimportant to her that she barely even realized they were there until just now. Her gaze was then drawn to a head of fiery red hair topped by a pair of white-furred triangular ears. The young, tan-skinned owner of that marvelous crimson mane momentarily stared in the gnome's direction before she broke out in an unrestrained quadruped run. The guards immediately moved as if to block the suspicious individual, but she just idly leaped over them, rolled on the ground, and kept running with all haste right towards the shiniest of shinies that ever shined.
Fizzy!
The strange catgirl hug-tackled Fizzy with such speed that it wouldn't be a surprise at all if she had injured herself. However, this didn't seem to be the case as she eagerly embraced the golem with her whole being. She rubbed her cheek against Fizzy's, licked her neck, stroked her back, and patted her head, all at the same time. The golem giggled with delight in a clear show of approval. Jessie didn't expect such a reaction, nor did she anticipate the strange thought that drifted into her mind upon witnessing it.
I wonder if she'd let me do that eventually.
Part 4. The cat girl aggressively cuddled Fizzy for a good 3 minutes. The forest gate had already closed itself, and the dwarven mercenaries had long since cleared the plaza by the time she let go of the radiant golem. She then greeted Lola with a shorter, more modest hug before finally introducing herself to Jessie as one Kira Morgana, a Third Legion scout and Fizzy's apprentice. Under normal circumstances, that last bit would have thrown the gnome for a loop. An airhead like that, the disciple of a fizzle sprocket? It was a preposterous notion, yet hardly the strangest thing Jessie had learned that day. After introductions, Kira and Fizzy went to pick up a load of heavy crates that the cat girl ordered on her mentor's behalf. There were so many of them, they had to borrow a cart in order to get them back to Fizzy's improvised workshop. Granted, the golem could have probably handled that weight all on her own, but sheer volume of the cargo made it too dangerous to transport by hand. Of course, the cat girl's antics didn't cease on the ride back to camp. She kept caressing and rubbing her face all over Fizzy's frame in the back of the cart. Yet again, the golem seemed happy about it rather than annoyed. Lola, who sat at the front, just sort of ignored them and focused her attention on steering the horse-drawn cart through the winding streets. The only one that had a problem with Kira's behavior was the gnome seated next to the elf up front. She tagged along mainly because of Fizzy, but the beastkin's shameless actions started to get on her nerves. How could she treat her mentor that way? It was brazen, shameless, and extremely
By the way, Jessie?
Yes?
Being addressed so suddenly by the source of her annoyance caught the gnome a bit off guard and completely derailed her train of thought. She reflexively turned back and found the cat girl's piercing yellow eyes staring right into hers.
You said you were an artificer too, right?
Yeah?
Do you have a specialty like Fizzy?
No, not quite yet. I'm still only level 43. I'm planning on becoming a flame spitter artificer, though.
Oh, nice. I was thinking of being one myself.
Huh? Aren't you going to become an arc light like Fizzy? Isn't that insulting towards your mentor?
Well, I mean, I'm grateful for her guidance, but...
She's no good at it,
Fizzy interjected with a tired tone.
Kira may have a lot of potential, but both flame spitter and automata would be a much better fit for her than arc light.
Oh, well, if Fizzy says so, then it's probably true. I feel a bit out of the loop here.
Lola joined in over her shoulder.
What's the difference?
Arclight artificers like me use electricity and magnetism to create complex devices with a variety of uses,
explained Fizzy.
Automata artificers mostly make mechanical dolls called automatons. They're golem-like things that may or may not run on magic. As for the flame spitters, they're the best when it comes to handling combustible materials. Rockets, propulsion, flamethrowers, advanced explosives, that sort of thing.
Huh.
Laughed Lola.
I see. That last one is indeed a perfect fit for the Merry Popper.
Lola, I told you not to use that embarrassing nickname.
Kira protested.
Merry Popper?
Asked Jessie almost involuntarily.
Yeah, see.
The elf ignored the cat girl's protests.
This redhead has been exploding things around her ever since we graduated from the consortium together. I don't think a day passed without something or another being blown to bits around her.
You're exaggerating,
the girl in question insisted.
Uh-huh. Is that why you went hunting for game with a row of grenades in your belt and returned with a stack of mangled and charred boar carcasses?
Well...
You're also the only nutter I know who thought it was a good idea to strap miniature bombs to your arrows.
That's...
I could go on, so I will.
Did you not get heavily reprimanded by Opsio Finreal for instigating the spicy meatball incident?
What's that?
Jesse asked on reflex.
Let's just say we learned not to mix explosives in with monster bait,
Lola said cryptically.
Of course, the Mary Popper over here had a goofy grin on her face in every one of those stories. If I didn't know any better, I'd say she was nuttier than Fizzy.
Hey, leave me out of this,
the golem protested.
My personal favourite incident was just before we were conscripted,
Lola carried on.
We were clearing out a troll den not too far from the capital, and Kira had the bright idea of using a flashbang on them. She messed up the throw and it bounced off a tree branch, then went off right in her face. And yet she just laughed it off as if going blind for a minute or two was no big deal.
Come on, Lola! You're making me sound like a weirdo!
The cat girl grabbed the elf's shoulders from behind and shook her desperately, while Lola laughed heartily at her expense. Both of the women ceased when Jesse placed a hand on Kira's arm out of nowhere. The cat girl turned towards her with a face on the verge of tears, only to be met by a pointlessly determined expression and a thumbs up.
I totally get you.
You do?
Of course. Explosions are an artificer's romance, after all. Having a solid boom rattle my bones while hot air washes over my face, it makes me feel alive.
I can't say I agree with you on that, but I can see where you're coming from,
Kira warily replied. She paused for a few seconds before staring at Jesse's face. The gnome wasn't sure what brought this on, so she brushed it off as just another strange quirk. Or at least she tried to. That intense, unflinching glare made her feel increasingly uncomfortable at an alarming rate. Thankfully, the redhead relented before things got too awkward.
So then, what are you working on, Jesse?
She abruptly changed the subject.
My team's main purpose is to set up a minefield. Oh, landmines? You know about those? Of course I do. I'm Fizzy's disciple, after all. Right, of course.
As expected of a Fizzle Sprocket. Even if the former gnome's family lived half a continent away in exile, they had still heard the news coming out of Horkensaft. If this was the girl that helped create those elegant bomb tubes, then her knowledge of explosives was hardly surprising.
So have you already laid them out?
She asked excitedly.
Not yet. So far, I've planned to set them in several rows far ahead of the walls, just within range of our defensive line. Oh. What?
That one syllable was loaded with so much disappointment that Jesse couldn't help but feel a bit insulted.
I mean, I don't want to question your expert opinion or anything.
The cat girl hesitated for a moment.
But are you sure that'll accomplish anything? Of course it will. Once people realize their every step could blow them up, they'll start to hesitate. Either they will slow their advance or brave the minefield. Either way, they'll serve as area denial that will surely buy the defenders the precious time they need.
Yeah, but you do realize druids and shamans are a thing, right?
Care to elaborate?
Well, you see, druids can see beneath the soil. Not to mention that back in the... siege, there... this...
The cat girl's expression rapidly grew dark, and her voice lowered in volume until she was basically moving her mouth without making a sound.
Back in the Battle of Fort Yemen,
Lola took over,
there was this amazing enemy shaman. He caused a gigantic earthquake that toppled a whole section of a wall. Granted, he used an ultimate skill to do it, but even run-of-the-mill shamans can shake the ground to a certain degree. That's what you wanted to say, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Lola,
Kira said in a near whisper.
Don't mention it,
the elf replied in kind.
My point is, there's a good chance those guys will detect and remotely detonate your minefield with no difficulty. We've nailed them with many nasty surprises already, so they're bound to be on high alert.
Crap! I didn't consider that at all! Ugh, I'm such an idiot! Of course there'd be magic that makes all my hard work pointless! I can't even use them as a deterrent! I'm such a failure!
Jesse's sudden tantrum upset the horse pulling the carriage. Though the military thoroughly trained their steeds to not be startled by sudden noises, this simple mare wasn't one of them. It started neighing and stomping, prompting Lola to fervently rein it in before something happened to the cart, its cargo, or its passengers.
Whoa, easy there,
the elf admonished the gnome.
Your flailing about isn't helping anything.
But I'll be ruined! Ruined, I say!
The blonde midget persisted.
If I can't deliver on the contract, I'll be left penniless, in debt, bankrupt! It'll take years to work it off!
What? You're giving up already?
Fizzy looked at her with disdain.
Sweet Jonathan, you're such a crybaby.
What else am I supposed to do? If I can't hide them in the dirt, then they're useless.
So don't hide them in the dirt.
Huh?
Jessie stopped her bawling and turned towards the cat girl who said such an idiotically obvious thing.
There's plenty of other places that a good landmine can be hidden without being adversely affected by the primal spells of druids and shamans.
Yeah? Like where?
Under the floorboards of houses,
Kira stated in a dull monotone.
Beneath the cobblestone tiles of streets and alleyways. Rigging them up to drop the enemy into the sewer or collapsing a building or two on top of them would also be good. Could put them inside the wall itself, but that would probably backfire.
Yes. There is that, I suppose.
Jessie answered nervously.
I'll think about it.
She couldn't help but be creeped out, both by the brutality of the idea and the dry way it was delivered.
Ah, serious mode Kira came out.
Lola shook her head. While the elf genuinely enjoyed the company of that cheerful and open-minded cat girl, she became a completely different person in the field. Well, she liked this calculating and ruthless side of her too. It was a necessary mindset for a soldier, especially someone responsible for the lives of her fellow conscripts. Still, the drastic shift in attitude was a bit unnerving at times. At the very least, Kira seemed in complete control of her faculties and wouldn't start arguing with the Muffin Man inside her head like a certain someone. Even if Fizzy's split personality thing was supposed to be a skill, it was still super weird.
You know what? That might actually work,
Jessie admitted amidst the awkward silence.
That wall is coming down sooner or later, so preparing for what happens next rather than trying to delay it seems like the better idea. My team will have to modify the triggers on over 500 devices, and I'd have to run this by the Legate. But it's definitely doable.
She turned towards the cat girl with perhaps the first genuine smile she'd shown her.
Thanks a lot for the input, Kira. You're a lifesaver.
Nah, it wasn't that big a deal. Any adventurer would have told you that much if you had just asked.
Yes, I suppose you're right. They keep telling me I need to communicate more, but it's difficult for me. It's one of the downsides of being such a shut-in.
You're a shut-in? How come?
The bluntness of the question hit Jessie in the chest like a brick. Still, she felt indebted to the newcomer for her input, so she felt obligated to offer something in return.
I have agoraphobia.
What's that? Can you eat it? Is it tasty?
The redhead seemed strangely excited.
It's a type of mental disorder,
Fizzy chimed in.
It causes anxiety and panic in places that make you feel exposed, and is somewhat common among certain underground-dwelling gnomish and dwarven communities.
You're awfully well-informed, huh?
Lola nonchalantly noted.
I used to have it as a kid. I got over it, though.
How?
Jessie desperately asked.
Seriously, I've been struggling with it for almost a decade. It's a huge problem.
I don't know.
The golem shrugged.
I just kind of got over it after a while. You're a gnome. You should be able to do that much.
Gnomes were the weakest of the enlightened races when it came to raw strength and endurance. It was an inevitable downside of having small bodies that couldn't build up as much muscle mass as humans, elves, or even dwarves. However, they had quick fingers and quicker wits. Their inherent mental fortitude was exceptional, as demonstrated by the gnome's ability to process information and deal with difficult emotions several times faster than other races. Therefore, get over it wasn't merely an insensitive remark, but an actual thing Jessie could have done to alleviate her irrational fears.
I've tried,
the woman protested.
I try so hard every day, but I can barely manage a mantra that helps me cope.
I don't know.
Fizzy shrugged.
Meatbag problems require meatbag solutions, so don't look at me like that.
Miss Wobblebang?
Kira butted in.
It's been bothering me for a while, but does your condition have something to do with your curse?
Curse? What curse?
Hmm? Now that you mention it,
Fizzy muttered. The golem leaned forward and stared at Jesse's face. It was the same intense glare that the cat girl used earlier, but the gnome didn't mind it since it was Fizzy's.
Oh, yeah. It's faint, but it's there. You've got a curse,
the paladin declared.
You're sure?
The shiny construct raised her shield and tapped on it.
Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Here, I'll graciously get rid of it for you.
Fizzy reached over, causing the cart to creak slightly under her shifting weight. Her finger extended towards the gnome's forehead, causing the woman to freeze up on reflex. Thankfully, the golem didn't flick her into unconsciousness, but merely tapped her skull while chanting a spell.
Cleanse!
A swirling mote of prismatic light spun around Jessie's head, briefly filling her with a warm, fuzzy feeling that everything would work out. The light faded a few moments later, but the uplifting sensation remained. Jessie dumbly turned her gaze skyward and was delighted to find that the sight of clouds in the vast blue sky no longer made her want to start digging a hole to hide in.
Wow, that's... I can't even begin to thank you.
She would have cried tears of joy if she wasn't already emotionally exhausted from the much too eventful day.
Don't mention it,
the paladin brushed her off.
I did it for myself, not you.
Jessie was a naive female gnome artificer in her early 20s. Those traits alone put her on the verge of infringing on Fizzy's trademark, but her carrying a curse was too much. The self-centered golem couldn't allow someone else with circumstances so similar to her own. It would make Fizzy less unique and diminish her overall shininess. Such a travesty couldn't happen, so she resolved the matter in the most expedient and efficient way available. It was a good thing for Jessie that her curse was weak enough to be removed by a basic spell like cleanse. Otherwise, Fizzy would have been forced to seek more drastic solutions.
I have to thank you as well.
The short blondie turned to the tanned redhead.
I can't believe you noticed it so easily. You're welcome.
Kira beamed.
I'm just glad it was an easy fix. That said, I am an adventurer, so I expect to be compensated for my trouble. Of course,
Jessie instantly agreed.
Honest pay for honest work, as they say. What's your price? I want to see your workshop and study your work.
That puts me in a rough spot.
She winced.
I'm a decanus. Clearance shouldn't be an issue,
the redhead stated confidently.
That's not what I'm worried about. I don't know how safe it is to have you poking around in a house full of explosives.
Just for the record,
Fizzy butted in,
Kira can put together and dismantle a fragmentation grenade while blindfolded.
Whoa. For real? No, of course not. Fizzy just has too much pride in her student.
Right, of course. Well, if she thinks so highly of you, then I have no reason to refuse.
Sure you do,
said Lola.
For one thing, Kira has responsibilities as a legionnaire and a decanus.
Yeah, about that. What's a decanus?
Even though she doesn't look like it, this girl's an officer with a 10-man unit under her command. You probably can't tell since you're not military, but that's a huge achievement considering she's a conscript.
Oh, right,
exclaimed Fizzy.
I forgot to speak with the CO about transferring to her unit.
Won't happen,
the elf cut in.
I know how you feel, but that guy won't let you go so easily. You're way too valuable. Our best bet to have the same unit is to have Kira join ours as an XO.
Come to think of it, our last XO went AWOL 5 days ago, didn't she?
I don't know, guys,
Kira joined in.
Primus Underwood might have some special plans in mind for me.
I'm sure he wouldn't refuse if you asked him nicely. Everyone knows he has a soft spot for you.
Come on, Lola, let's be real. This isn't a picnic.
Jessie couldn't help but feel alienated when the topic shifted to military matters. She failed to understand much of the ongoing conversation other than the fact that Kira was actually kind of a big deal, and the three of them hoped to go into battle together. However, what really brought her mood down was the realization that she was an outsider, something she had briefly forgotten about in all the excitement. Indeed, there was no guarantee that any of them would make it through the week, let alone the months to come. That's why she decided to be proactive for once. She waited quietly until the group was back at camp and just sort of stuck around afterwards. Kira immediately went to speak with her superior officer while Lola and Fizzy unloaded the cargo and put it inside the golem's appropriated smithy. The elf then went to return the cart to its rightful place, leaving Jessie alone with the shiny, gnome-shaped artificer. If she was going to say something, it was now or never.
Fizzy? Ma'am?
What is it, Meatbag?
Though the golem responded, the bulk of her attention was occupied by her inspection of the newly delivered parts shipment.
Do you, have any plans for the evening?
Yeah, I'll be putting together a charge pack for my weapon.
The golem pointed over her shoulder towards the oversized wrench leaning against the soot-covered wall.
That's your weapon?
Yep.
Jessie slowly approached it with a curious look, inspecting it top to bottom. It was plain and completely unremarkable, aside from its dimensions. That was the only way she could describe it and exactly what made it feel so out of place. Surely a fantastical being like Fizzy would have a much flashier weapon, such as a lightning-infused warhammer that thundered across the battlefield. Perhaps she did have something like that, but didn't want to show it off. It certainly seemed like a possibility. So Jessie decided to poke around a bit.
And, how long have you had it?
77 days, 6 hours, 41 minutes, and 34 seconds.
Is that when you... you know...
When I became a golem, yes.
And, does it see a lot of... use?
Almost on a daily basis.
Unbelievable. As in, I actually don't believe it.
The gnome pushed her luck.
It's a heavy lump of iron on a stick. It works fine as a mace,
was the dull reply.
But there's not even a scratch on it.
Indeed, the wrench was in near mint condition. Granted, the red paint on it was peeling off in a major way, but the metal underneath was pristine. Not even heavily enchanted weapons could go that long without showing signs of wear and tear. So how did a simple tool survive so much abuse? Fizzy looked over her shoulder at the gawking gnome and smirked.
Hey, Meatbag!
She called out to her.
Wanna see something cool?
I guess?
The golem casually strode over to the wrench and effortlessly picked it up with one hand. She turned around and approached the only anvil in the room. She gripped the wrench with both hands, lifted it above her head, and swung it down with all her might. A clear, bell-like sound rang out as metal clashed against metal. The golem turned around with a triumphant smile, showing that both the wrench head and the corner of the anvil had noticeable dents.
Oh, wow!
Jessie exclaimed.
That's impressive!
As an artificer herself, she grasped the sort of forces that came into play for such a thing to happen. It was the kind of impact that would surely shatter a normal person's arm from the recoil.
It's too early to be impressed,
Fizzy smugly declared.
I haven't even started yet.
The blondie looked on expectantly as the golem turned her attention towards her weapon of choice.
Holy light!
The wrench in her hands let out a rather unpleasant sound as yellow-green light enveloped it. It only lasted for a few moments, not even a second. Once it was over, the lump of steel had returned to its former shape with absolutely no evidence that it had ever been bent. Satisfied with the result, Fizzy set it aside and placed both her hands on the anvil. She invoked another holy light, and the dent in the hunk of iron buffed itself out with an audible whomp.
How'd you like them apples?
She grinned cockily at her sole audience member.
You just healed metal.
Yep.
Typically speaking, healing magic could only affect living beings. Golems were somewhat an exception because, while they were not strictly alive, they were close enough. Inanimate items and objects, however, were right out. Magically repairing such things was possible, but it required specialized skills and spells that were few and far between. Something like holy magic mending a wrench was completely outside the realm of common sense.
Neat trick, isn't it?
Gloated the golem.
Trick? Trick? Do you have any idea how this could revolutionize metallurgy? What am I saying? Of course you do. You're way too brilliant not to. But if that's the case, why haven't you gone public with this?
A girl has to have some secrets.
Fizzy winked playfully. Jessie didn't know how to respond to that coy answer, so she just stood there like a statue modeled after the concept of confusion.
In all seriousness, though, it's something only I can do. At least, I haven't heard of any other metal golems with religious aspirations.
the trick wasn't all that complicated. Fizzy, as a paladin, used holy light on herself all the time and knew that it was effective in repairing her mithril frame. The golem could focus her metallopathy skill on any metal object she touched to the point it felt like an extension of herself. Combining those two concepts led to the outcome that Jessie had just witnessed. Of course, not being well-versed in magical theory, the golem had no idea why or how it worked. If she was better educated on the subject, she might have deduced it had to do with her way of thinking. Magic was molded by the mind, which allowed for a certain amount of flexibility. That was why Boxy had been able to use its succubus familiar instead of a pure maiden in a sacrificial ritual. The simple creature had wholeheartedly believed the degenerate qualified because she was a female that was neither diseased nor poisoned. Though it seemed like a loophole, and it was, the only reason it had worked was because Boxy believed it would with absolute certainty. The then mimic hadn't the slightest idea that the sacrifice had to be a pure maiden in another, more carnal sense. Its thorough misconceptions had caused an abnormal reaction that led to some unpredictable consequences, which was what usually happened whenever magic was mishandled. The particular phenomenon Boxy had stumbled upon was known to the academic community as delusional variance. Any magic invoked by a sentient mind was susceptible to it, but it primarily occurred with rituals and ceremonies. Spells and skills were significantly more formulaic and therefore less prone to such willful alterations. Yet that was precisely what Fizzy had unknowingly accomplished. The fact that her metal-mending trick kept working further solidified her belief in it, which only improved the consistency with which the delusional variance occurred. The only way to put a stop to it was to prove to the paladin that her magic was not actually supposed to work the way she thought it did. However, given the golem's offensively egotistical and self-centered personality, convincing her she was incorrect would require a feat of delusional variance equal to her own. In summary, Fizzy could heal metal because she thought she could, and that was good enough.
However,
the golem continued her presentation,
while convenient, this trick still has some limits.
She looked around and picked up an iron rod that was lying on her workbench, then snapped it in half like a twig.
Holy light!
The healing magic flowed into the metal pieces like before, but it merely smoothed out the jagged ends where the rod was broken.
It can't reattach something that was severed, just like with body parts,
she explained.
Fascinating,
Jessie commented.
What if you used it on a damaged mechanism?
If all the parts are still attached and intact, then it should get healed.
Incredible! Then couldn't you, in theory, open the VBM?
In theory, yes.
Then...
However, I have zero intention of going back to Horkensaft.
I see.
Yeah, me too, Plus. I'll take care of it the next chance I get.
After saying something to her other self once more, the golem turned her attention towards her guest.
So, is there anything else, or can I get started on my work?
Just one question. Who is this Plus you keep talking to?
It was one of the things that nagged her for a long while now. While gnomish artificers were prone to having certain eccentricities, that particular behavior was more than a little worrying.
Was that out loud?
Yeah. You've been kind of talking to yourself all afternoon, actually.
Fizzy's shoulders drooped and she hung her head.
Sorry. Still getting used to this whole parallel thing. Don't be alarmed, though. I'm not crazy. Plus is very much real.
Okay.
Yeah, of course she wouldn't believe me. Tell you what, why don't I just introduce you?
You don't have to-
Parallel one!
Fizzy's left eye suddenly lit up with a bright green light. Her normally strict and scrutinizing expression became much softer and all around sweeter.
Hey there!
She said, raising her hand in greeting.
I'm Plus. So good to finally meet you.
Hello? I'm Jessie.
I know who you are, silly. Me and Fizzy share the same head after all.
Okay. Jessie had to admit that the golem definitely wasn't mentally disturbed, and that this Plus wasn't a figment of her imagination. Her words and behavior were completely unlike what she showed earlier. Even the tone of her voice was subtly different. Younger, livelier, nicer, even. There wasn't a doubt in Jessie's mind that Fizzy did indeed share her body with someone else. Which, honestly speaking, was worrisome in an entirely different, more severe way.
Aw, come on. Don't look at me like I'm something to be afraid of.
Plus pouted.
Of course she will when you act like that, idiot.
Fizzy resurfaced.
She'll think I'm possessed or something if you don't explain properly. Oh, right. Oops. Yeah, oops. Anyway, Jessie, as I was saying, this is Plus.
Fizzy pointed at her left side, which waved excitedly at the blonde.
She's a skill of mine that drastically increases my multitasking abilities. She's a bit of a handful, but she is still me for the most part. Yeah, we're like sisters.
The golem's head nodded vigorously, although only one half of her mouth was smiling.
I see. I think I get it now.
Jessie nodded.
I'm sorry for assuming you were mentally unstable.
No hard feelings, yeah. Indeed. It's fine, as long as you understand.
Yeah, it's all so clear to me now.
The blonde gnome chuckled.
The crazy one is me.
Neither Fizzy nor Plus knew how to respond to that.
Of course!
Jessie started shouting.
It makes so much sense! I must have hit my head harder than I thought! Well, better go see a medic about that concussion!
Jessie saw herself out of the smithy, laughing forcibly and loudly as she went. Fizzy and Plus heard her cackling voice drifting away as she made her way out of the Third Legion's camp.
Poor child.
The parallel shook her head.
Can't be helped.
The other shrugged.
Meat bags are faulty like that. It's like they were designed to break apart from the get-go. I suppose.
Plus agreed with a sigh.
But to think she had mental health issues all this time and none of us noticed. I thought she was pretty nutty from the start. I'm still not convinced she isn't a pervert. Yeah, but I hoped she'd get better after the curse was gone. I guess that's just how she is. Too bad we can't help her. Actually, there might be a way.
Fizzy remembered something.
There was this experimental procedure I read about back in Azurevale. Something called electroshock therapy. Oh? Is it supposed to, like, zap someone back into sanity? I think that's the general idea, yeah. But I'm looking at your memories of that article, and the details seem awfully fuzzy.
Plus pointed out.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Fizzy brushed off her concerns.
I'm sure we can figure it out with some trial and error. That's a good point. We are awfully clever. Exactly. Now, where did I put that welding wand?
Part 5. A series of metallic clangs emanated from Fizzy's smithy. The noises were so evenly spaced out and identical that one might wonder if someone was using an automatic hammering machine. That didn't seem to be the case, since there was nothing resembling such a contraption inside, just the mithril golem carefully inspecting a plate of heated bronze in her hands. The rectangular piece of metal had been carefully and skillfully bent into a rounded semicylinder, but the artificer wasn't satisfied with it just yet. She put her right hand inside the curve and held the object up from underneath while her left fist hovered above it. Her index knuckle extended moments before she struck the metal plate 4 times in rapid succession. The impacts left barely perceptible alterations in the bronze component's shape, causing it to transform from an almost perfect semicylinder to a flawless one. Fizzy nodded approvingly and dipped the metal halfpipe in a nearby barrel of alchemically purified water. After quenching it for several seconds, she pulled it back out and got a mithril nail from her toolbox. She pressed the tiny white spike against the hardened piece of bronze and used it to carve a series of lines into its inner side. The ease and precision with which Fizzy made those grooves made it seem as though she was drawing on paper with a pencil. Such production methods were completely impossible for anyone who wasn't a mithril golem. The shiny artificer's nature allowed her to work with unerring precision while skipping various safety precautions that meatbags had no choice but to observe. Fizzy's body also didn't need sleep, sustenance, or bathroom breaks. Thus, the project that would normally take 2 or 3 workdays was on the cusp of completion after barely 6 hours. Fizzy finished carving up the bronze half-pipe's interior and momentarily set it down on her workbench, right next to a tiny bottle of dark blue liquid. The golem dipped the mithril nail's tip in the stuff and started carefully filling the freshly made grooves. The alchemical substance reacted with the bronze's lingering heat, causing it to instantly dry and bond with the metal surface. Once she was done coloring within the lines, Fizzy once more dipped the component in that barrel. This time around, she waited a few minutes for it to fully cool off. Her creation complete, the metallic machine maker moved on to quality assurance of her own handiwork. She used her metallopathy, eyes, and some measuring instruments to confirm that the article was made to her meticulous specifications. Fizzy wasted no time and brought it to the contraption resting on a heavy stone table on the smithy's opposite side. The partially finished device looked quite alien to anyone but its creator. In fact, all but a few Arclight artificers would struggle to deduce the purpose of that bizarre mechanism through sight alone. Its base was an open steel box about the size and shape of a ridiculously thick book. Its exposed insides were filled with all manner of strangely shaped parts made from various materials interconnected by a hodgepodge of wiring, bolts, and rods. The component that stood out the most was a long crystal tube filled with a faintly glowing cyan-colored liquid, which ran the length of the device. Fizzy set down the bronze semi-cylinder next to the steel casing and fished a pair of wires from inside. Both were coated with insulating resin, but one was bright yellow and the other was dull red. The golem reached for her welding wand. Despite what the tool's name suggested, it wasn't some fancy stick a caster might use to augment their spells. It was a pen-shaped magic item with a tip that, once supplied with MP, generated a point of tremendous heat at its tip. Such specialized equipment was difficult to come by, and no artificer worth their gears would ever leave theirs behind. If its worn-out and tarnished golden tip was any indication, Fizzy's welding wand had seen a tremendous amount of use. It nevertheless performed its function without fail, allowing the golem to permanently connect the ends of those wires to two specific points on the newly forged bronze component. Fizzy moved on to the finishing touches by carefully lowering the inscribed half-pipe into the steel frame so that it covered the crystal tube. She pressed down on it as gently as her mechanized joints would allow, eliciting a barely audible click as the last part snapped into its predetermined position. The artificer ensured the bronze part stayed in place with a bit of spot welding before performing one final inspection on the rest of the internal components. With everything in working order, Fizzy welded a steel slab on top of the metal box to seal it. Though that seemed to be the end of it, the golem spent an additional 20 minutes sanding down and polishing the steel casing. The golem didn't consider any creation of hers complete until it could reflect her radiant countenance back at her. You have created a custom electric charge pack of masterwork quality. Level up! Congratulations, you are now a level 59 Arclight Artificer. Dexterity plus 2, Wisdom plus 2, Perception plus 2. Proficiency level increased. Tick counter is now level 7. Intelligence plus 3, Wisdom plus 3. Proficiency level increased. Electrical expertise is now level 4. Intelligence plus 6, Endurance plus 2. The golem couldn't help but beam a dazzling smile. That array of notifications left zero doubt in her mind. The device in front of her was her finest work to date. It was quite impressive considering this was the first time she'd ever put one of those things together. At least, that's what she told herself. In reality, this was her third charge pack, but the golem refused to acknowledge the first two since they were flawed products of her worthless meatbag self. She didn't know where those pieces of junk were, nor did she particularly care. She was too busy basking in the afterglow of having just completed a masterwork item. In all the excitement, the golem decided to push it further. Normally, she would be more wary about taking that extra step since it would backfire in a major way. Worse still, whether the outcome was favorable or not was largely up to chance. However, for better or for worse, Fizzy was a follower of the God of Unpredictability, and the paladin genuinely believed in his teaching that chances existed to be taken.